declare that you are good. We thank you for being with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before you have a seat, I'm just excited to announce that we are starting a new series today, and it is Summer in the Psalms. How many of you were with us last year when we did that? Did a Summer in the Psalms. We were still in COVID, and so it was kind of scattered. But so we are going to be engaging in the Psalms over the next several weeks. And so just as we do that, one thing that is really cool to do as a body, we just sang together, but it's also actually really important and really awesome when we get to read scripture together. So as you're standing, we're going to be tackling Psalm 15 today. And so before we even get there, can we just read this psalm together just as a way of bringing us there? So read this with me. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, who casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts, who does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. Amen. You can have a seat.
Well, good morning, everyone. Come on. Good morning, everyone. There we go. I need to know you're out there and that you're with me. Thank you. All right. Well, as Corinne just said, we are starting a series called Summer in the Psalms. But before I get to that, I just want to share some encouraging news. So 3 or 4 weeks back, I came up here and was on the stage and said, hey, we need to raise some money for the church planning initiative that we're doing in the apartments. I know you guys, you've always stepped up to the plate, you've always been generous, and I know we're going to knock this out of the park. And we set September 30th as the deadline to raise that $13,000. Well, as of earlier this week, the last update I got, we are currently at $11,300. Like, we're almost there, and we're not even out of July. I mean, come on. Like, we might finish the goal by July instead of September. So I just want to just say thank you, thank you, thank you for how generous you are. It's such a joy and a privilege to be part of a church that responds in generosity to the things that the Lord is calling us to. So thank you for that. And let's keep going. Let's finish it off. So thank you. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Ryan Beer, and I am the pastor of both our Go Ministries, and also I work with Robin in our Groups Ministries. And so what that means, if you're like, Go Ministry, what in the world is that? It means that I oversee our local and global mission stuff we do in the community, stuff we do overseas, as well as our different groups, life groups, adult life groups that meet together. And those are a big, big part of what we do here at Westwood. And so if you aren't currently in one, please come talk to myself or someone with a name tag, and they can help you. That's really the life of our church. Some of those have kind of paused for the summer, but they're going to get going again in September, and really encourage you to be in one of those. So as part of this series, each of us as pastors or others who are speaking in the series chose a psalm that was meaningful to them for whatever reason. And so the one one of the ones I chose was Psalm chapter 15. And this is a psalm that really talks about the values of someone who is trying to live for the kingdom of God. It's really a psalm in a way about integrity. And the reason that this psalm is meaningful to me is when I was about 17, I went to this leader in training program at a Bible camp. And my leader, Brent, he was really, really big on integrity, and he taught a ton about integrity. And one of his favorite lines, actually, was, how much is your integrity worth? Like, what would you sell your integrity for? What would be compelling enough for you that you would choose to walk in a way that wasn't in line with the way God has called us to live our life? And he's like, if your temptation is money, like, what would your dollar amount be that you would be tempted to do something that wasn't right? And of course, we were all like, oh no, ours is super high. We would never give in to that. We want to be people of integrity, right? Because we were young and we were full of enthusiasm and probably a little naive, or maybe a lot naive. And so I was like, oh yeah, no, I want to live a life of integrity. But of course, if you say that, at some point, that will be tested, right? And so when I was about, a story that really sticks with me is around this whole idea is when I was about 20 years old, I went off to Bible college. As you may know, students generally don't have a lot of money. So I was gonna drive home to go and visit my family back in Alberta. I was going to school in Saskatchewan, and went to fill up the tank of gas. And that was before the prepay days, right? Maybe because of the story I'm gonna tell you, that's why we have prepay days now. But I accidentally started to fill my car with Supreme, like the top level gas. And trust me, I was not driving a car that needed Supreme. And I started to fill it, and I got to like $4 or $5, and I was like, oh no, I'm filling up with Supreme. So I quickly turned the pump off, put the cheap gas in, filled up the rest, went to go pay. And the clerk didn't realize I'd filled up a little bit of the expensive gas first, and said, oh, your bill is whatever it was. I mean, that was back in the days when I had a really good economic car, so it was probably like $20, which now seems like an absolute impossibility, right? But they said, this is much. And without correcting them and saying, well, actually, I put in the expensive gas, I decided just to pay the money and leave. So I went home, I had a week of reading break, and all that kept ringing in my mind was this mentor's words, how much is your integrity worth? And I was like, well, apparently $5. Oh, man. So I went back. When I went back, the first thing I did when I got to campus was pull into that gas station and pay that $5 so my conscience would leave me alone. Because the Holy Spirit was stirring in me, like, if you really want to be a person like this, then you have to live it out. There has to be sincerity about it. And the thing is, if you're like me and you're seeking to live a life like this, you're probably not going to always get it right. That's why I tell that story. But that's why we have the Holy Spirit, right? To call us back to walking with God on the path and living out those kingdom values that we're supposed to live out. Because we're imperfect. I'm guessing you, like me, are an imperfect person. And though your desire might be to live this way, you're not always going to get it right. And so what do? We allow the Holy Spirit to convict us and call us back to that path. So I wanted to tell you that story up front so you don't put me up on too much of a pedestal, right? I haven't always got it perfect throughout my life. I'm seeking to live this way, but I don't always get it right, and you won't always either, but allow the Holy Spirit to call you back to walking with him on that path when you go astray a little bit. So, with that in mind, let us jump into the passage in Psalm chapter 15. And this psalm is written by David, and David starts the psalm off by asking questions. And if you're around me for very long at all, you'll understand I love questions. I love to ask questions. And so I love that David starts off the psalm by asking a question. It says, Lord, who may dwell in your tent? So this idea of tent, there was a tent where the tabernacle of the Lord went around leading the Israelites, and they would journey together, and they would take God, so to speak, in this tent with them as a representation of him. And so it was like, in a real tangible way, they were journeying with God. And so essentially the question that David is asking is, who can journey with you, God? Who can walk in relationship with you? What is it, or in other words, what does it look like to walk with you, God? What would the life of somebody who's walking with you look like? This is essentially what David's asking. But then he takes it a step further, and you'll see he says, who may dwell in your holy hill? This is more of a permanent idea. Who can dwell with you for eternity in your kingdom? Who's going to get to be a part of your kingdom for all of eternity? What? How does that work? What kind of life does one have to live? That's what David is asking. And if we want to kind of sum up both of those questions all together, what he's really saying is this: what type of living in the here and now prepares you for living in the presence of God for all of eternity? Because if you don't want to live and walk with God now, suddenly, why would you, and you don't want to live in those kingdom values now, why would you want to live in a place where those kingdom values are exemplified forever, is essentially what he's saying. And so how we live now, it's like it matters. It's not like, well, we're just trying to get through this life so that one day we can be in heaven with God. It's like, no, this matters. We are called to live out the kind of kingdom values that we'll get to experience for all of eternity in the here and the now. So then David begins to start to answer this question. And he says this: he whose walk is blameless. Now, probably a better, if you're to look at the Hebrew word, probably blameless, don't think of blameless like as in they never do anything wrong. Because if that's the case, zero people are going to be walking with God both in this life and in the life to come, right? If you don't agree, we may have to talk about narcissism later. Right? We've all made choices that don't align with what it looks like to live out the values of God. Right? So, what he's really getting at is those who are wholehearted or authentic. Their heart posture is turned towards God. And therefore, for the most part, their words and their deeds will match their heart. And to take it a little bit further, it also has a sense of being like being true to the person God has created you to be. You're not pretending to be someone that you're really not. There's this authenticity to you. Your heart is turned towards God, and therefore your actions and your words line up with that heart. And you're authentic to who God has made you to be. That's what this idea is trying to convey. Not that you are blameless in the sense as you've never done a single thing wrong, but that you're a wholehearted person. There's an authenticity to you. Then the next thing it goes on to say is, who does what is righteous, who speaks truth in their heart. So this idea of righteous, the concept here, is it's talking about you make the right choices when it comes to walking in relationship with other people. Those who take the appropriate actions in relationships with others. Which makes sense, because when we think of the teachings of Jesus, he says basically all of the commands of how you should live your life as a follower of God can be summed up in two things: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So this idea of righteousness is this right living with others. When it comes to how you are in relationship with others, you take the appropriate actions. You live, you're kind, you're compassionate, you're loving, you're patient, right? All the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. This is how you relate to others. Now again, you're probably not going to always nail that. That's why we have grace, which we'll talk about a little bit later, and about how Jesus comes into this equation and walks with us in this. The next thing it talks about is it talks about then our words and our words about towards others. And it says, and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong, and casts no slur on his fellow man. Okay, so what it's getting at here is those who don't tear others down with their words. Right? You don't speak ill of others. You don't put others down. You don't gossip about them. You don't insult them. You choose to use your words in a way that's uplifting, that's positive, that builds them up, that encourages, rather than tears down, destroys, makes them feel less than. And so it's reminding us, the psalmist is reminding us that the words that we speak to others matter. And we're called, as James says, you know, out of the same mouth, blessing and cursing shouldn't come, right? We use one mouth to sing the praise songs we just sang, and then we use another to curse a fellow human being, to speak ill of them. And we've all probably been there. We've all probably said things to other people that we regret, that we wish we wouldn't have said. How can we begin to try to walk more with God in relationship and help him, let him speak into our lives how we are not using our words to build up but tear down? Let him convict us of that and bring us back onto the path of walking with him in this kind of living. Okay, the next one, when you read it, it sounds a bit like, wait, what? Because it says this, who despises the vile man. You're like, wait, so, like, we're supposed to, like, hate people? And, wait, secondly, what's a vile person? How do we determine that? Who gets to determine that? What does that mean? But honors those who fear the Lord. The idea that this is getting at, it's not talking about, like, how we should literally hate these types of people and only honor these types of people. What it's really getting at is, what are the types of people that you admire, that you celebrate? Do you admire and celebrate others who are seeking to walk the way God has called us to walk? Or do you tend to hold up the people who are actually really just living for themselves? And there's a selfishness to the way that they go about life. Who are, in other words, what it's asking is, who are your heroes? Who are your heroes? Who are the people that you look up to and you hold up to say, man, I would love for my life to be like that person, more like that person. Who's the person that you celebrate, that you look up to, that you think, wow, I want to be more like that? Because if our heroes, if the people we hold up, the people we celebrate, are people that are living for themselves, guess what we're going to tend to do? Live for ourselves. Chase after the things that we're not called to as followers of God. But if our heroes are people who are generous, people who are willing to sacrifice themselves on behalf of others, you know, like people like someone like a Mother Teresa, for example. If those are the types of people that we hold up as our heroes who are willing to spend themselves on behalf of others, then guess what? We're going to be more likely to do the same. So this is more talking about, like, who do you celebrate? Who do you admire? Who do you look up to? Who do you even maybe allow to be that person that walks alongside you and helps you stay on the right path, right? Who are these people in your life? It's not saying don't be in relationship with people who don't think like you, people who don't live like you. No, it's not what it's after. It's not saying don't think that you're better than those people. No, you're not. It's just encouraging you. Who do you celebrate? Who do you admire? Because that will affect how you live your life. The next thing it talks about is it says, those who keep their oath even when it hurts. It's this idea of those who keep their word. My grandfather, he had an expression. He always used to say, a person is only as good as their word. And that's how he lived his life. Like his, if he gave you his word on something, like you could take that to the bank. It was going to happen. Like he really believed in this idea of keeping his word. If he gave his word to something, that was it. It's like Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Which means, of course, we have to be careful what we give our yes to, right? We shouldn't easily give our yes to something or our no to something. We should be wise and thoughtful in what we give our word to. Because our word should mean something. We shouldn't give our word and then quickly change it and go down another path. Now, there are times when maybe you've given your word and you go, actually, to keep that word would actually mean I'd have to live in a way that I'm not supposed to live. That's a different story. But be wise in what you give your word to, and then do your best to keep your word, because your word matters. People will trust you based on this, right? And you want to be a person who is trustworthy. The next thing it talks about is it talks about this idea of how we use our finances, right? And it says this. It says, who lends his money without usury, or to some it says, who lends his money to the poor without interest, and who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. What's this talking about? Those who choose to be generous rather than taking advantage of others for their own personal gain. Right? That's what it's getting at. Don't take advantage of people just because they're poor and use them for your own gain, your own benefit. People are not a stepping stone for your own financial success. Be generous towards other people. Be honest in the way that you go about making a living. Don't cheat others. Don't use others. Don't take advantage of them. But instead, be a person who's known for their generosity, because we serve a generous God who loves to give good gifts. So let's reflect that in how we live. These are the kind of things that David is saying, these are the kind of values that will mark somebody who is walking in relationship with God. It's not saying, like, if you live this way, that's what saves you. Our relationship with God and choosing to give our lives to him and say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, and we get forgiveness for those times we haven't got all these things right, right? But it's this idea that if your heart is sincerely turned towards God, your life should be tracking in this direction. More and more, you should be living this way. And when you get it wrong, the Holy Spirit should be able to speak that into your life, or a fellow person who's walking alongside you should be able to speak that into your life, and then you seek to make that change and to get back on that path of walking in the right way with God. You're walking in relationship with him so he can speak into your life when you've kind of veered off the path a little bit. So with that in mind, I told you I love questions. I want to leave you in a few minutes here. I want to leave you with two questions that I want you to wrestle with and pray through in your heart right now. In a couple minutes here, Corinne's going to come up and she's going to play something softly. And I just want you to just take a few minutes to just prayerfully think about this in your own life. Okay? So here's the two questions I want you to think about and to pray about this morning, just quietly on your own. Question number one is this. Do you live your life walking in communion with God. What I mean by this is, like, are you walking in relationship with God? Are you allowing him to speak into your life? Are you seeking to walk with him and let him guide the choices that you're making, right? The first question was, Lord, who can tabernacle with you? Who can journey with you? Are you choosing that? Are you choosing to walk with God in relationship and then to live out of that relationship? So I want you to just ponder that in your own mind, in your own heart. Are you living your life walking in communion with God? Because we all can. God gives that invitation to all of us. We can all walk in relationship with him. Are you choosing to do that? And if you're not, and you want to, you can make that choice today to choose to start walking with God. And if you're not sure how to do that, you can just say, God, it can be as simple as this. Like, God, I want to walk in relationship with you. Please forgive me and give me your Holy Spirit to guide me and help me to live this way. It can be something as simple as that. And if you want to have a conversation with me or someone else who has a name tag, we'd love to talk to you about this, about how you can start walking and journeying more with God in relationship. So that's the first thing I want you to think about to prayerfully consider. The second thing is this. Is how you live your life now in line with what you will experience in the fullness of eternity with God? Are you living out the kind of values that we'll live in for all of eternity? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Because when we go to be with God in eternity, there's going to be no more pain, suffering, all these kinds of things, death, right? All those things are going to be taken away. All the kind of things that evil has brought into the world are going to be no more, and we're going to walk in the perfect way that God intended us to live as human beings. And so how we live now, it's almost like a practice for that. Are we living in a way that exemplifies those kinds of values now? Examine your life. And hey, we're all probably going to have areas where we're going to say, yeah, this area of my life, I'm doing pretty well. This area, the Holy Spirit could do some work in, right? I need to walk with God closer and allow him to change my heart and my mind and to help me to think differently and to give this to him. And that's okay. But just take some time right now. I'm going to pray for us. And then just quietly on your own, just prayerfully, thoughtfully think through these two questions, okay? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you want to journey with us, that you want to walk alongside us and help us to live the kind of life that you have called us to. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would, as we pray and just examine our lives before you right now, that your Holy Spirit would just lead us to ways that we have not been walking the way we should with you, that we haven't been living the way we should. And may you convict us of that, and may you show us by your Holy Spirit what we need to do to start to walk more in the way that you desire for us to walk with you and God. Lead us, speak into our hearts and minds right now as we listen to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
just as we leave this place today, I just wanted to remind everyone, remind us, and encourage us that walking in integrity and walking this way with Jesus, it requires the help of Jesus. It's not something that we do on our own. He graces us to walk this way with him. And that is such an encouragement. And so if you know this chorus, I just invite you to sing it. If not, just follow along in your heart with the message of it. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Oh, I need you. Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Oh God, Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we thank you for the way that you invite us to walk with you and how you enable us to do that. So God, we just surrender to that today. We just invite you to speak to us and guide us through our weeks, God, as we humble ourselves before you. Would you help us to walk closely with you in Jesus' name? And everybody said, well, I hope you have a great week. Why don't you go out and enjoy some sunshine today?